You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Yeah, I want to pray for you. Just lift up your hands if you want me to pray for you. Just get ready to receive from God. Come on, if you come here today expecting to receive something from God, an encouragement, a reminder, some inspiration, some transformation, if you come expecting to receive, just lift up your hands and get ready to receive. Lord God, we all come here today thankful, grateful, that imperfect humans, God, that we are acceptable to you, that no matter how any one of us walked in these doors, no matter what we saw, no matter what we did, no matter what we said this week, that God, we are all acceptable to you. And that's why we lift our hands in worship. And that's why we lift our hands in surrender. And that's why we lift our hands in desperation for more of you, Lord God, because we all need you. We all need to meet with you today. And so I pray that you would soften every heart, that every mind and heart would be ready to receive what you want to speak to us today. And that we would leave this place having been reminded God is good, having been encouraged we can do it, having been inspired that there's more, Lord God, and having been transformed in our hearts and in our lives a little bit more like you, in Jesus' name. God, I pray you give your word power as I preach it today. And we all thank you. Thank you for meeting us here in Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise if you're here to meet with him today. If you're new here, well, welcome everybody to church. I'm glad you're here. If you're new here, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor. I'm really glad you're here. I've got a gift for you. It's a welcome box. There's a ton of them out there in the lobby. We give away 10 to 20 of these every single week. Good stuff, great stuff. I know you'll love it. And so we just want you, if you're new, maybe you've been coming for a few weeks, but you've never connected, just run out to the lobby, grab this box after the service, t-shirt, notebook, and a lot of goodies in there as well. So God bless you as you do that. Thanks for coming to church. Everyone else, shake someone's hand, say, welcome to church. And then take a seat. God bless you, Ben. Thanks, guys. Love yous. I don't know why, but whenever I say welcome to church, I always channel my inner Brian Houston. It's just every time I can't say welcome to church. Welcome to church. Everyone goes, man, that guy's got such a deep voice, that Brian Houston guy. And I was in a lab with him one day, a meeting at Hillsong when they have the conference. And he was talking about where he got his husky voice from. And he got it from preaching a lot and screaming a lot. And it just destroyed his voice. So, yeah, that's what preachers are willing to do for you. Cut open our throats with just crazy yelling and screaming. That's how much we love you. Good, hey? Yeah, we love you. Good to be in church. I really am glad you're here. I tell you what, I'm excited to preach today. This is the third time I've preached this word, but I want to tell you right now, as I was walking up on stage, I felt God saying, I'm going to do a new thing in this service, though. And who knows that the word of God is new every time it's read and every time it's preached, okay? That it's not leftovers. There's no such thing as leftovers when you're preaching the word of God. There's no such thing as the dregs at the bottom of the barrel when it's the word of God. I'm excited to preach. Are you ready to receive from God today? Fantastic. Well, welcome to the new sermon series, Weird. Or as you would say, Word. Weirder. Got it. Thanks, Mindy. And so welcome to the new sermon series, Weird. We are so glad that you're here for it today. I've been talking a lot about weird and what that means. And I've discovered that in my life, often when I say something's weird, it's really something that I want, you know? Like you look at somebody, how they're dressed, and you're like, man, that person's dressed weird. And then you go home and you're Googling it. You're like, where can I find that stuff? Or you go out and you meet someone, they're like really bold, really confident. And you're like, man, that person's weird how bold and confident they are. And then you go home and you're like Googling bold and confident self-help blogs. And you know if it's on a blog that it will be legit, because you can't write a blog unless you know what you're talking about. Am I right? Mm-hmm. That's what y'all think sometimes, isn't it? You know, like if someone wrote a blog, they're like, well, they've got a blog with lots of followers. It must be good. Nope. Don't do it. Can I tell you right now, I want to hit pause for a second. You can worship God as you are right now. I want you to know that. I want you to throw off your preconceived ideas of what has to be better in your life before you can be acceptable to God. I want you to throw off your preconceived ideas of how much levels of forgiveness are required before somebody like you can step into the presence of God and worship Him. Throw off the ideas of how sanctified you've got to be before you can serve God. I want to tell you right now that God forgave you the day you gave Him your life, and it still stands forgiven today, okay? You are good enough to be acceptable to God, not because you were good enough to be good enough, but because He said you're good enough when you gave Him your life, all right? Throw off any preconceived ideas that you might have about whether or not you're acceptable to God. Right now, this sermon is for every person in this room. It doesn't matter what you look like or what you've been like. This sermon is for you. Are you ready to receive from God today? I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, and He is for you and for you, okay? He is for you. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, though, He's often been placed into the weird category, all right? There's a category where we put things that we don't fully understand, and that category is called weird, okay? It's just like the old couple that are 89 and making out on the park bench, and you drive past and you're like, oh my goodness, that was weird. See, I tell you, we say things are weird, but so often we want what they've got. That's what this sermon series is about, okay? When it comes to the Holy Spirit, He's often been placed in the weird category, okay? But the weird category has subcategories, like all categories in the planet. There's categories and subcategories, and the weird has subcategories. It has weird awesome, which is like weird and I want it, right? It's like, man, that shoe, those shoes are weird. But next year, everybody's going to have them, so I want them right now. There's weird awesome. Also under weird, there's also the spooky weird, stay away from the children type of weird category, right? That's not what we want the Holy Spirit to be in. But for some reason, some churches may have either accidentally or on purpose created the impression that the Holy Spirit is spooky weird, stay away from the children weird. Now, whether that be by teaching against the Holy Spirit, which I don't understand that, let's be real. God is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all equal. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not dead. Jesus died, but He rose again, because you can't kill God. So the Holy Spirit is alive. God is alive, am I right? Come on, God is alive. So let's not put Him in some dead category and say that a whole third of the Trinity is useless in my life now. God is alive and He wants to and is willing to move in your life. Amen. Some churches have also put God the Holy Spirit in the spooky weird category by turning Him into some kind of a circus, some kind of a carnival, some kind of a carny that you just got to come and see what He's going to do. I want to tell you, some people have used God the Holy Spirit as an excuse to be a freak. Now, it's all right if you're in this place and you're naturally freaky. Just own that. Just own that. We'll accept you here. You don't have to blame the Holy Ghost. Just own it, all right? It's okay. You'll be allowed here. But we want you to know that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, what the world calls normal won't be where you fit anymore. All right, are y'all awake? Y'all got a roof in your house? It didn't snow in your bedroom? Then lift up your hand and slap yourself and wake up, all right? Come on now, there we go. Wake up, talk to me. We're in church. This is not the Presbyterian church. you will talk to me in this church, all right? You will talk to me. You will respond, or you're in the wrong place, all right? Come on now, talk to me, church, all right? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, in terms of what the world calls normal, you won't fit in that category anymore. Is that true? See, normal or average or common are not words that I would use to describe a Spirit-filled life. They're not the words I would use to describe my life. See, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit in your soul, in your body, with the power and the presence of God through the Holy Spirit, then I'm telling you, your life will be different. But it'll be that good kind of different. That people go, man, that's different. Google, how do I get that? And then the next day you see them, they'll be doing the same thing. That's what happens. See, your life's going to be different because you're going to have victory, because you're going to have wisdom, because you're going to have transformation. Your life will be different when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So today, I'm going to show you three things that the Holy Spirit does in you. But first, I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, all right? Zechariah was a prophet, and he was chatting with an angel of the Lord. Now, that's not something you see every day, is it? It was around the time of Haggai where we see the rebuilding of the temple in Scripture. Great and fascinating story. I want to encourage you to get your Bibles and read about Haggai and read about Zechariah in the Word of God and really be encouraged by everything going on in there and get in a concordance or something and try to understand it. It's just wonderful, right? But Zechariah, the prophet, he's talking to a scattered... Excuse me. I had a Sudafed this morning, so my throat's like... dried up, right? Zechariah is talking to a scattered but returning people, often called the remnant, all right? The remnant, not the revenant. See, I was talking to someone about this week, and they're like, the revenant? They're the revenant? I'm like, no, that's a scary, freaky movie about some big wolves or bears, sorry, that when you get to the other end of it, you're like, I don't know if I liked it or if I hated it, but I'm confused. Did anyone else feel like that at the end of that movie? Cool. Well, here we have the remnant people. No, just kidding. We have the remnant, okay? And that's just the remaining people of Israel. They were scattered. They were everywhere. And Zechariah is talking to them about the rebuilding of the temple of God. Now, what's cool is that Zechariah means the Lord remembers. Isn't that cool? You're a scattered people with no home, and a dude named Zechariah, who means the Lord remembers, comes to talk to you and give you a word from God. Just to say, you may be scattered, you may not know where home is, but the Lord has remembered the promises that He gave to your daddy's 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 daddy. And He hasn't forgot you either. Come on now. So they are rebuilding the temple. So let's read the first couple of verses from chapter 4. If you've got it, say, I got it. I got abused this week but for making you people sound like rednecks. Tammy told me that every time I do your voices that I make y'all sound like deep south rednecks. And see, y'all don't know it. Who knows, you can't hear your own accent, right? And this is exactly what you sound like. Y'all just don't know it. Then the angel of the Lord talked with me. Sorry, then the angel of the Lord who talked with me returned and woke me up like somebody awakened from sleep. And that's interesting, isn't it? You know, tends to happen, right? When you are woken up, you tend to be like someone awoken from sleep, right? I think the Bible is just so obvious sometimes. It's fantastic. I woke up and then I was like somebody awoken from sleep. And he asked me, what did you see? And I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lampstands on it with seven channels to the lamps. And also there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And he answered, do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. Come on, someone repeat it after me. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. See, this passage, without going into detail on every single part of the vision, which is an exciting and wonderful thing to do. I want to encourage you to read about that sometime. But this passage, the general context of it, the design of it is to reassure Zechariah the prophet and all of the people through him that the good work of building the temple will, it will, by God's providence and God's divine grace, be completed. Did you catch that? There's other things that this vision means. But what he is, the general context, the general feeling, the very thing that he wants Zechariah to walk away with and communicate to the people is that this project will be done. Because when God says, I'm going to do something, God does what God says God's going to do. Amen. Now, Zechariah, he knows. He knows that there are many very strong and very powerful enemies of the rebuilding of the temple. And yes, the workers are few and far between. And yes, they're not even good at it. He's got a few people and they suck at building temples. And that's what he's got to use to build the temple. The angel lets the prophet know that this vision is designed to encourage him to go on with the building of the temple. Let him know that he is a worker together with God. And that it is a work which God will be responsible for. God will own it and God will crown it. Amen. God will carry on what God starts. It will not be by Zechariah's might or by Zechariah's power. It will not be by Zerubbabel's might or by Zerubbabel's power. And it will not be by the might of the men and the women who don't know how to build temples. It will be by the power of God in Jesus' name. That's how it's going to happen. Because when you're filled with the Spirit of God will make you victorious. It doesn't matter how many enemies there are. It doesn't matter how useless your team is. Come on now. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, He will make you victorious. You need to write that down. You need to get out Twitter. You need to get out Facebook or get out your little note-taking device. Come on, you need to write down, He makes me victorious. God makes me victorious. The Spirit of God in me means I am victorious. And you need to write that down. You need to remember that and own that. How many times for you has the task seemed impossible? See, these guys, the task was huge. Get a whole bunch of randos and build a massive temple. And you're like, well, number one, God, I don't have enough help. And number two, these people are useless. See, he's like interviewing people. You know, we got a temple building party going on. If you want to come to the interview. He's got 1,000 people he's interviewing. You know, yo, what's your skills? They're like, I'm good at sleeping and stuff. And he's like, next. Guy comes in, he goes, so, you ever seen a tool before? The guy's like, yeah, they're like shiny sometimes, right? He's like, yeah. You ever built a temple? Nope. Yeah, yeah, but my mama told me about one. Apparently there used to be one somewhere. And it looked like something. And Zechariah and Zerubbabel, these guys are like, yeah, all right, you'll do. You're the supervisor. And talks to the next guy. Hey, you ever seen a temple? No, but I know we're supposed to build one. Have you ever built anything? I had an IKEA couch. And then I called Brandon to build it for me because it was tough. That's who he's got to build the temple. These guys don't know anything. They can't put together an IKEA table. That's their skill set. And he hasn't got enough of them. And God says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. See, what lies ahead of you today that seems impossible? Is there something in your life that seems impossible? Is there some insurmountable mountain that lies right in front of you today? Did you come to church overwhelmed and stressed about the thing you got to deal with tomorrow? What mess have you created that's so overwhelming that you fear hope is lost? There's always hope. There's always hope. What seemingly irreconcilable damage has been done to your marriage? There's always hope. It won't be by might. It won't be by power. It will be by the power of the Spirit of God. That's what the Lord says. And He says that you are victorious. He says that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And just so you know, if you made a mess, greater is He that is in you than you. And so if you can make a great big mess, He can clean up a bigger mess than you could ever make, because He's stronger than you are. Amen. Come on. You remember a few weeks ago I told you that I went through a time when I felt like all that God had done in me could disappear at the drop of a hat? I had begun to let the devil use the blessings of God in my life to bring fear that one day those blessings would be gone. And so when attendance was low one week, like this week, oh no, it snowed. It's all falling apart. No, I can't go back to Australia. They hate me. They call me a traitor for leaving them. That's how I would think. It's messed up, isn't it? Or attendance was low, I'm worried. Tithes and offerings were low this week. We won't make it to next week. Oh no. I'd worried. I'd freak out. I'd get tired and fearful. Because that's what happens when you forget that God always finishes what God starts. He always finishes what He starts. Every single time. Sometimes I think that when the devil comes in and brings fear, that we might lose what God's done or what God's doing. That we do what a young man might do if he gets a feeling that his girlfriend's going to break up with him. And so he goes and breaks up with her so she can't break up with him. And we do that with God sometimes. God's doing something in our lives. We get overwhelmed with fear and anxieties or concern that it's all going to disappear. And so we break up with Him. We break that thing. We kill that thing so that it was on our terms that this thing died, not because I lost it, so that we don't have to worry about losing it later. And we do things like that to God. Philippians 1:6 says that I can be confident that He who begun a good work in me will carry it on to completion until the day that Jesus Christ returns. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we're being transformed into His image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Come on, I want you to touch your neighbor, look him in the eye, and say, He's making me more like Jesus. And some of the wives are in here looking at the husband saying, I don't believe it. Come on, He's making us more like Jesus. And He won't stop doing what He does until He's finished doing what He's doing. Let's read that first one again. He who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, or until Christ Jesus returns. Now, there are two really brilliant bits of good news in this passage that I want to share with you. Do you want to hear them today? Number one, you do not need to feel ashamed about not being perfect yet. The day of Jesus Christ has not come. Jesus has not returned, and you ain't dead, so you haven't gone there yet either. So you don't need to be ashamed or feeling inferior or feeling guilty about the fact that you ain't perfect yet. You're going to be messed up for a little bit longer, but you're going to be getting better. Amen. See, you don't need to feel ashamed about not being perfect yet. You ain't dead and Jesus hasn't come back yet. Number two, he will continue to make you more like Jesus. He will continue to work in you and through you and around you. It's okay that you aren't perfect yet, but God loves you too much to leave you a hot mess. What do they say? I'm not where I need to be yet, but I thank God that he brought me away from where I used to be. Amen. You aren't what you used to be, and you aren't where you're going to be, but praise God, he loves you too much to leave you where you are. There's always a next step. He promises to begin and continue to make you a better representation of Jesus Christ. So just admit that you need the Holy Spirit's help. You need help. Y'all need help. Come on, you need help. Come on, are you receiving this today, church? Are you catching this today, church? Is this good, church? Come on, y'all need help. I need help. Oh, man. I need help. I make some really great plans, though. Man, I am one of the best at making plans. Anyone else really good at making plans for how to be awesome? Yeah? Like you're sitting on your computer. Man, sometimes I type up my awesome plans. It's under a file called Jesse's Plans of Awesomeness. Day one, be awesome. Come on. I'm awesome at making plans. Like when I decided I wasn't going to cuss so much. Y'all are like, when was that? Hey, I'm doing a lot better now. Come on. A lot better. I moved over here and learnt that some words y'all decided were cuss words. And I'm like, all right. Don't say those words. But I remember the first time I made a plan that I was going to cuss less. That's a fine plan. I made a real good plan. I wrote it down with all the steps. Number one, cuss less. Number two, you will be cussing less. It's a great plan. It was awesome. Had it figured out. I'll tell you what, it was so cool. I went to bed that night. I didn't cuss for at least 7 hours straight. Awesome, right? That's cool, right? Yeah, some of y'all do it in your sleep. I don't, right? 7 hours. I woke up in the morning feeling like a hero. Looked at the clock. I'm like, it's been 7 hours. I'm amazing. Get out of bed. Start walking. The sun is shining. It's beautiful. Birds were singing. It's like I was in a Mary Poppins movie. I'm like, look at me. I'm so good at not cussing. This is amazing. I start going down the stairs, so proud of myself. I'm like, man, I'm one of those real Christians now. Yeah, I'm one of those Christians, the good ones. Yeah, come on. Only took 10 years of pastoring. Got my shoulders up. I'm walking down the stairs. I get to that last step. And my foot landed on something hard. Something square. Something very small, but very evil. Something very painful. My foot landed on it, and it cut me open. And before my mind could catch up to my emotions and my reactions, I let out a couple of words that here in America you might consider to be less than reputable. Lego is the devil. He made it and he scatters it. And then, in my pain, instead of loving and caring for me, my darling wife calmly calls out to me, "Calm down. Be quiet. There are sleeping children in the house. Ladies, I want to let you know something. When you come to an angry man, Don't say calm down. Gasoline and the man is fire. Calm down is a bottle of gasoline. You could say anything else except calm down. And now in my head, now I'm saying less than reputable things about my bride. In my head, I've cussed, I'm angry. The birds that were singing, they're dead. They've been replaced with vultures getting ready to carry me off to hell where people like me belong. My life was perfect until it intersected with the lives of other human beings. Life transformation would be so much easier if other people would stay out of my way. Anyone else believe that? Yeah? This transformational journey of becoming more like Jesus, that would be so much, I could do that on my own. If no one else existed, it'd be awesome. Anyone else feel me? Good. Y'all are like, we need a new pastor. When's the vote? Sorry, that's the board's job. I'm staying. But life would be so lonely on your own, wouldn't it? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God Himself, who created us, is community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Relationship, community. Before you were ever in existence, community existed. Before the first man or woman was ever created, community existed. Community was how the world came about. And when God said that He wanted to make you and me, when God wanted to make us, what did He say? Let us make man in our image. Our image. Let us make man in our image. Because the Godhead is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, community. We were designed just to be like our image. We were designed to be in community. We are best, not worse, in community with us, people, and God. We need the third piece in our lives, God. We need Him to transform us, to make us able to be better in our relationships. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. You're saved because you believe in Jesus and asked Him to forgive your sin and give you new life. But this transformational journey can seem so hard when we try to do it on our own. Stop trying to change everything about your life all at once and ask the Holy Spirit, what's next? What do you want me to do right now? What's the next step you want me to take right now? People have this idea that when you get saved, every single sin, every single struggle, every single issue in your life must fall off you right now. You must deal with it all right now. That's what people think happens at salvation. I want to tell you right now that if the second that you give your life to Jesus, He suddenly illuminates and reveals and just shows you every single thing in your life that's wrong and dirty and evil and says, fix it all right now. I want to tell you, salvation would be a horrible experience. A horrible experience. Where all of a sudden the veil is here and now I'm being condemned for every single thing in my life. No, God comes in and says, now let's begin a process called sanctification. Let's begin a process called transformation. Where right now we're going to work on this and this. And then after that we're going to work on this and then this and then this. And then when you die, you'll be like, man, I came so far. Praise God, it's been a good journey. That's what happens. Stop freaking out about everything right now. It's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by your strength or your own power that you become more like Christ. It will be by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, transforming your life from the inside out. See, what happens in people's lives sometimes is that they'll go up to people and tell them what's wrong with their lives. If I go up to Luke and say, Luke, you need to fix this issue, Luke's going to be like, stuff you, and run out the door and never talk to me again. Why? Because I took it upon my heart to become the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you will be ready and you will have the power to receive and overcome. So we've got to say, Holy Spirit, what's next? What do you want to work on in my life? What's going on now? How can I become more like Jesus? What do you want to do in me? See, if the Holy Spirit comes and says the exact same thing to Luke, Luke was ready to receive it. Holy Spirit, power to overcome it. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to happen. That's why when you come to this church, we are not going to be the church that tells you the list of things you need to fix and change in your life. We need you to become closer and more intimate with your relationship with God so that you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life telling you, it's time to work on this. It's time to work on this. It's time to overcome this. See, when we come in, we might say you need to deal with anger when the first thing the Holy Spirit wants to do is deal with your stinginess and make you generous. But we just short-circuited the whole thing by trying to do the Holy Spirit's job. Scripture says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of their sin. Not you, not me. Praise God. That was good. I think that was good. You think that's good? You guys can come back up now if you feel led. Can I be serious though? Like if you come up to somebody though and the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you need to go talk to that person, ask them for help. Hey, then we will share with you what we think needs to change. Because we're going to trust that the fact that you came and asked us meant that the Holy Spirit has softened your heart and you're ready to receive it, okay? And then we will pause for a second, and instead of going, well, you got to stop wearing blue, the first thing we see, we're going to pause and say, Holy Spirit, thanks for this opportunity to speak into their life. I want to hear your voice right now to communicate what you really want to do in their life. Sound good? Ask him for what's next. The thing he gives you, you will overcome and you will win. Praise God. So stop getting down on yourself. The last one is he makes me wiser. We touched on that a little bit last week. He makes me wiser. Now this is not some, you know, when he said, sorry, back up. There, okay. Remember we said last week that Scripture said, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say at the time that we need to say them. Remember that? Now, this is not some direction to be unprepared in your life or to not work hard. Okay? Scripture tells us to work hard in everything we do because our efforts and our work reflect on Him because He is the one that we work for, okay? So it's not a direction to be unprepared, but that as we work hard and are prepared and have faith and are obedient to His leading, He will lead us and His Spirit will give us at the right time the things to say at that time. See, Solomon was a little tiny dude who asked God for wisdom and got everything else that he needed. Solomon asked God for wisdom. People traveled from far and wide, east and west, to learn from this young man's wisdom. God says that he does the same for you. The Holy Spirit of infinite wisdom lives in you. How about that? The Holy Spirit of infinite wisdom lives in you and can lead you and can give you the things to say at the right time to say them. He lives in you. Scripture says that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so now we come back to the temple again. We started off talking about a temple being rebuilt. And it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, that the temple will be rebuilt. It's the same with your temple here. It's not by your might, not by your power, but by the Spirit of God who lives in you, that you will be rebuilt and transformed and become a picture of Jesus Christ. And the same Holy Spirit that does all that rebuilding that lives in you now, man, you must be pretty rad to God if He's willing to call you a temple of His Holy Spirit. Like, you must be pretty important to Him, right? That's a really cool thing to think about. The Holy Spirit of infinite wisdom lives in you. Now, you should all study for sure. I studied before preaching this word. I read all about Zerubbabel and Haggai and Zechariah. I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was talking about and what the vision meant. And college is a good thing. Education is a wonderful gift that we have in countries like America. But let me tell you right now, your education level is not the only decider on the quality of your life. Listen, your education is not the dictator and decider on the quality of your life. Education's a great thing. It's a good thing. I've been educated. But education and wisdom are not the same thing. If you did not go to college, God's wisdom is still available to you. Praise God. He can still lead you and speak to you, help you make good decisions, wise decisions. I know of a few different men in this church who 100% are convinced the only reason they are where they are today is because God gave them wisdom. You want to talk to them? I'll give you their names. Or I'll give them your names. It's not the same thing, education and wisdom. If you did go to college, don't simply rely on your education, but ask the Holy Spirit for the wisdom to steward the gift in your life. Yeah. We can all be so much wiser, so much more effective in life and relationships and even our jobs if we would stop every now and then and listen to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. And say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? Etch those words into your heart and mind. You need to etch them in there. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? You're walking down the road. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? Every time I walk into a meeting, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? When you got to make a decision at work, hey, God wants to bless you, am I right? So maybe you could even say it as you're walking up to a customer. Hey, God, what do I got to say to this customer right now? Got to stop every now and again and listen to what God wants to do in your moments. Would you all stand up with me? We're going to pray and begin to close the service. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus, well, today's your lucky day. Not so much lucky, so much as God's providence. God brought you here today, and you responded, and I'm grateful. But you need to pray a prayer with me in a second, a prayer that invites God into your life and asks Him to forgive your sin, past, present, and future. Forgive your sins. And if you believe that in your heart as you pray it, Scripture says that you will be saved. You will be a child of God. And all the gifts of God, including the Holy Spirit, will be available to you to ask for. He'll forgive you of your sin. He'll remove your shame, whether it be by mistakes you made or things others did to you, whatever it is or around you. God wants to remove all of that. Set you up right now for a brand new life. If we could all close our eyes and bow our heads and pray this prayer with me, I'll say it one line at a time. I want every single person in the room to pray it with me like we do every week, so that those who are praying it for the first time aren't saying it alone. So everybody, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sin, rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and everlasting life. Please forgive me the things I've done wrong and help me to be what you designed me to be. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Praise God. If everybody could keep their eyes closed and their heads bowed, people are making the most incredible and most impactful decision of their entire life. So if you could keep your eyes closed and give them the privacy that that kind of decision deserves, that'd be fantastic. In a second, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand if you prayed that prayer, but I want you to know now I'm not going to call you down the front. I'm not going to tell people who you are. I'm not going to describe what you're wearing. Every week, people pray this prayer. 10 to 15 people almost every week in our church over the three services. So you're not alone. And but the reason I want you to put your hand up is so that I can pray for you. I'll stay on the stage, but I just want to know who I'm praying for in the crowd here. So if that's you right now, well, no one's looking around from the front to the back and the right to the left. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, coming back to God, well, no one's looking around right now. Just lift up your hand and show me who you are. Praise God. I see that hand, and I see that hand, and I see that hand. That's three people. Is there anybody else who just wants to lift up their hand right now and tell me so that I know who I'm praying for? I want to pray for you. Praise God. You may pop your hands down. Heavenly Father, I pray for those three people that right now, that your peace would come upon them. Scripture says that you are the Prince of Peace and that you bring peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray that peace would come upon them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, that the shame and the pain of their past mistakes would be taken from them. Shame and the pain of other people's things that have been done to them or around them would be removed in Jesus' name. And right now they would be overcome with the power of God, with the joy of the Lord, and the hope of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Their future is now decided by the power of God, not the works of men. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. In a moment, we're going to open the front up for prayer. But if you prayed that prayer, one of the three, or someone who didn't lift up their hand, either way, if you lifted up your hand or not, you can text the word SAVED, S-A-V-E-D, to the number 25827. And then today, someone from our church will contact you and invite you for lunch this week, so that we can explain to you the wonder and the power of God and what He wants to do in your life starting today and this week. So if you could text that number, that'd be fantastic. Alternatively, you can also go out to the Connection Lounge where the new people will be getting their welcome boxes, and you can tell them you prayed that prayer. They'll give you a Bible, take your details, and set up a lunch this week. If you want prayer, come to the front right now. We're going to pray for you. If you need healing in your marriage, in your relationships, in your body, your mind, if you need to overcome bitterness, I don't know. Whatever it is, we serve a God who's willing and able to do a miracle in your life today. So if you came to church today needing a touch from God, or you simply don't know what's next, come down the front and ask and receive from God today in Jesus' name. Come on down.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.